You're on the journey home, and I'm Diego Mulligan, and joining me right now from probably in California, Brad Friedman. He's one of the preeminent election fraud watchdogs out there, the guy I turn to when I want to find out who is flipping the votes. Brad, welcome. Thanks for joining us today. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me, Diego. And I'm definitely in California, Los Angeles, to be specific today.
I didn't know if you'd been traveling around or what, but of course, that's where you're based.
And we're home for now, yeah.
Yeah, and I've heard you on, subbing for Mike Malloy a few times, doing a great job there, and thought, hey, let's get you back on the journey home here and talk about what the hell happened last night and, and what role electronic voting machines may have played in any crucial elections. First, your take on that.
Well, leading up to this election, once again, we saw the same familiar pattern that we've seen election after election. We saw it all throughout the primaries this year, and then certainly in the weeks leading up to the general election yesterday and the early voting, which was our old friends, the 100% unverifiable touchscreen voting systems that your state was smart enough to finally do away with.
Mm-hmm.
But we saw problems in state after state where people were going into vote and their vote was being flipped, at least on the screen, from one candidate to another. Now, what was interesting this year, actually, is that the past reports, hundreds of them in state after state, have been Democrats who have been trying to vote for their candidate and seeing the vote flip to a Republican. Well, that pattern has switched this year just a little bit, very interestingly, in Texas, in Nevada, in North Carolina. It was Republican voters who were using these touchscreen machines and reporting that their votes were flipping to Democrats or to Greens.
Interesting. Yeah.
It was very interesting.
Now I wonder, what was that guy's name who was accused of being responsible for flipping votes at the central tabulators in the 2004 election in Ohio? Michael Connell, was that his name?
Yeah, I think you're talking about Mike Connell. Not that he was accused personally of flipping votes, but rather that he created the election reporting system for the state of Ohio at the behest of Karl Rove and some real, real far right-wing companies who ran that system in Ohio and then, interestingly enough, down in Chattanooga, Tennessee in the middle of the night that, allowed for the opportunity to run what's called a man-in-the-middle attack, where the results can be changed on a computer before they're actually reported to the public.
Right. But he's no longer with us. He died mysteriously in a plane crash, as I understand it.
He did, interestingly enough, just after he had been subpoenaed in a longstanding election fraud suit in Ohio, and after claims that he was being threatened by Karl Rove to essentially keep his mouth shut about what happened in 2004. A few weeks later, he went down in a small plane crash while heading home from D.C. back to Ohio for a company Christmas party.
No.
Strange circumstances, indeed.
Indeed. But he's not around anymore. Do the Democrats have somebody, roughly like him around? Or is this just the nature of electronic voting machines that they're unreliable?
Well, I think you really hit on it here, frankly. More than being unreliable, we know they can be gamed. Whether they are or not almost doesn't matter. The fact is that they can be, and when they are, it is pretty much 99.999% impossible for us to discover that they have been. And conversely, it's also impossible for us to discover that they haven't been gamed. And that is really, I think, underscores the threat that these systems pose to democracy. I'll give you a very quick example. Everybody knows in this race up in Delaware, the Senate race with Christine O'Donnell. Well, what people don't know is during the Republican primary a couple of months ago, when she was running against this rather moderate candidate, Mike Castle, actually defeated Christine O'Donnell, trounced her by some 55-45%, at least as far as you or I can know, Diego, because Castle beat O'Donnell 55-45% on the verifiable paper ballots, the ones that we can actually count that were cast as absentee ballots.
Right.
But on Election Day, the results were virtually flipped into O'Donnell's favor when they have to, on Election Day, vote across the entire state of Delaware on these touchscreen machines. Now, I'm not suggesting that that race was stolen for Christine O'Donnell. What I'm suggesting is we have no way of knowing whether it was or wasn't.
It sounds like it could have been a Democratic dirty trick. If they could get O'Donnell to be the candidate rather than Castle, then they stood a better chance of winning.
So you start
looking under every rock for all these conspiracies because these machines are in the middle and you can never really know.
That's exactly the problem. You know, that is a threat to democracy. It's been said that a successful election is when the loser can walk away and loser and their supporters can walk away knowing that there has been a fair election. That is strictly not the case with these voting systems. And so the good news is that after all of these years of Democrats sort of being called sore losers and conspiracy theorists and so forth for bringing up these very points, now we're seeing that it affected Republicans this year. And in fact, when it affected Republicans, for example, out in North Carolina, they went to court and they filed a suit against these machines. They called for them to be banned, and they were actually successful last Saturday. They had an expedited hearing and were able to get at least some additional provisions put in place that required every machine, for example, to have a sign above it, a voter alert, warning voters to check their ballots carefully on screen before they hit the cast vote button. So they got what they wanted, at least what they could get, what they asked for in their remedy. The problem was that remedy itself is insufficient because, remember, these systems can say anything you want them to say on the screen. It doesn't mean that they're going to be recorded accurately inside the machine. And that's why I say that it is strictly 100% impossible to verify that any vote ever cast on one of these touchscreen machines, and that's, by the way, with or without these so-called verifiable paper trails, it's impossible to know if any vote ever cast on those machines was actually recorded as per the voter's intent. Not one vote can be proven as such. And, I hope you're as troubled about that as I am.
Oh, absolutely.
It doesn't seem like many other people are. Maybe now that the Republicans have taken over the House, if they, in fact, are as concerned about it as at least the state Republican Party claimed to be out there in North Carolina, maybe the Republicans will finally be the ones to step forward with a federal bill to once and for all ban this type of voting system from our democracy. That would be nice, wouldn't it?
It would indeed be nice. Now, what are there, like 13 states that still use the DREs?
You know, I can't remember the specific number. Yeah, it's something along
those lines. I think 37 states have outlawed them, including New Mexico, but there's still 13 hanging on. And,
yeah, it's about 20-30% of the votes cast.
We've got to get a break in here now, so
yeah.
We'll be right back. Our guest here, of course, Brad Friedman. And, Brad, what's your website? Is that just bradsblog.com?
That'll work.
Okay. And it's a great website for all things regarding elections. And we've got another segment to go with Brad here on The Journey Home at 101.1 FM, Santa Fe Public Radio. Stay with us. Back in just a moment. You're on The Journey Home, my guest, Brad Friedman. And Brad is the award-winning investigative journalist, author and broadcaster, publisher of Brad Blog, and co-founder of thevelvetrevolution.us, and a fellow at the Commonweal Institute. Welcome back, Brad.
Thank you, sir.
So, anyway, we got some, you know, states still using these machines. The Republicans now have the chance to outlaw them, to pass a federal law and redirect this Help America Vote Act thing that ended up putting $4 billion into this crap that has basically was a bit of a boondoggle, you know, because a bunch of Republican companies ended up getting all the money to, you know, install these machines, and it's crazy. But this is not a partisan thing at all. Let's take the case that you write about in one of your recent blogs of Alvin Green, who won the Democratic nomination for Senate in North Carolina, but the Democrats had never heard of him. Nobody had ever heard of him. How did he win that nomination?
Your guess is as good as mine. That's the problem. You know, in fact, on the paper absentee paper ballots that were cast, there was an 11-point disparity between Alvin Green and Judge Vic Rall, who was a four-term state senator, a former circuit court judge. Vic Rall actually bothered to do stuff like campaign, raise money, had a website, spoke, you know, all over the state. You know, he was a legitimate candidate, and he was running against this Alvin Green guy who, as you say, nobody had heard of. He had no job, no campaign, no campaign website, no money, no cell phone. He lived with his father. I mean, it was really just insane to think that Alvin Green could have legitimately won that election. And, you know, all sorts of political scientists and statisticians and everybody else looked at it trying to find an explanation to explain why Alvin Green was named the winner on the 100% unverifiable touchscreens that voters were forced to use on Election Day. And they could simply find no other explanation other than voting system malfeasance or malfunction.
And we don't know which. Add to that malfeasance or malfunction. We don't know which it was, but add to the mix there a little dash of conspiranoia, and you got Republican Senator Jim DeMint, who would have been, of course, the opponent of Vic Rall, Vic Rall would have been his opponent had Vic actually taken the nomination.
Yeah, and indeed there was sort of this. Conventional wisdom, which is as is the case so often wrong, that, you know, oh, DeMint was going to sail to re-election anyway. Well, in fact, the last public poll taken, head-to-head matchup between DeMint and Vic Rall, had Rall only 7 points behind DeMint, and this was back in June. So, you know, to think that, oh, DeMint was a shoe-in and would have had no reason to game this system, well, that's not really the case. Now, I don't have any evidence that Jim DeMint did that, but this is the problem. When Vic Rall went and challenged that election afterwards, challenged the results, actually filed a challenge with the state executive Democratic board, basically he gave a five-hour presentation, a terrific one, making the case that there is no other explanation other than voting system malfeasance or malfunction. And what he was told was, well, you know what, Judge Rall, you might be right, but there is no evidence that you actually won. And that's true, because there is no evidence on those machines. And besides, they didn't even allow the Rall campaign to examine the machines to see if they could find signs of tampering. But at the same time, there was also no evidence, and there is none to this day, that Alvin Green actually won the election. So, I mean, it is a crazy way to run a democracy. But, you know, let me add, by the way, that you guys out there in New Mexico were smart enough to get rid of the touchscreen machines, but only after an election in 2004 where we saw tremendous problems across the state with those machines. Now you use paper ballots. That's the good news. But the bad news is those paper ballots are also not counted by human beings. They're counted by hackable optical scan systems. And if a problem is discovered, it's quite unlikely that it will be discovered, and if it is, it is generally too late to change the results of an election, just as we saw with the touchscreen systems in New Mexico back in 2004.
So are these machines that we have that count our votes, and then I suppose the process is they are either electronically sent via the Internet to some central tabulator, the county clerk, or hand-delivered, driven across town to the county clerk, you know, with a little memory cards or whatever in them. You know, how do they work? I mean, and where are they vulnerable? How can they be be gamed.
Well, the best
changed.
Example, frankly, we saw in HBO's documentary, Hacking Democracy, where we saw for the first time an actual Diebold optical scan system where they ran a mock election on it with, I think, 8 different votes, and we saw exactly how the paper ballots were filled out. We knew what the results of the election should be. The question was, can a Diebold optical scanner be hacked? And 7 people said no. 2 people said yes. We saw the ballots. They ran them through the op scanner and then printed out the tallies. And what do you know? The results were exactly flipped. Now, you would only know that that election had been tampered with on that optical scanner if you bothered to actually count the paper ballots, as opposed to relying on simply what the op scan system said. That is the type of system that you guys use out there in New Mexico, relying, you know, pretty much 100% on whatever it is that the computer system, the concealed vote counting of these computer systems, tells you is the result, instead of just, you know, counting the ballots. It's really not rocket science, you know, to count ballots, to do it in front of the people, to do it in front of all parties, in front of all video cameras, right there at the polling place on election night before those ballots can move anywhere, because, you know, we've had problems in New Mexico with that too, and trouble that can happen once those ballots leave the public eye and start moving by car or by any other means. So that's the way they still count them in, for example, 40% of New Hampshire. Right there at the polling place in front of everybody, it's 100% transparent and verifiable. And, by the way, it's quick, too. Most of those towns in New Hampshire come in with their results before the Diebold OpScan counties come in New Hampshire. That's where we really need to head, and that's the next step, as far as I'm concerned, for New Mexico when it comes to transparent democracy.
We're talking to Brad Friedman today on the journey home. The next election, 2 years away, the presidency once again up for grabs, on the line, and there's time, though, to make the changes that are necessary. So as far as it goes, could New Mexico stay, in your opinion, with the paper ballots that we have, but use a manual operation to count those ballots very simply, and then maybe OptiScan them just, to have another record of it, or what?
Well, you're going to have that next election that you referred to is 2 years away. That's the presidential election. Yeah. I suspect you'll have a lot of elections between here and there. And now is the time to do pilot programs at the precincts, to do hand-counted paper ballots at the precincts to determine the feasibility, the accuracy, the speed, and so on and so forth, to see if it can be done in that next big general election 2 years from now.
Oh, that sounds good. So what's next on your radar screen, Brad, when, as you continue your campaign to bring, fair elections to the United States?
Well, I'll tell you, you say that this election is behind us. I say it's just getting started for a guy like me. I've got about 15,000 problem reports to comb through.
Oh,
we've got a lot of elections that are still undecided, that have still not been counted. So I'm going to be fighting for this year's election, I suspect, for quite some time. And then we will move on and continue to fight for these pilot programs that I'm talking about for hand-counting paper ballots out here in Los Angeles. We're about to go to a new system, and so I'm working with the registrar out here to say, well, before you do, the right thing to do is test a hand-count system to make sure that that is not the best way to move forward for transparent, overseeable democracy.
Brad Friedman, thanks so much for joining us today, and good luck on cleaning up the mess after this election.
Thank you, sir. I'll need it.
Okay, take care now. Bye-bye.
All right.
And you can also find out more about Brad and pick up his blog at, very simply, bradblog.com. Well, tomorrow on The Journey Home, we're going to be exploring the present and future for mothers and daughters. Why do today's mothers feel like they're walking on eggshells around their daughters and second-guess their mothering abilities? Our guest, Susan Barash, gender professor at Manhattan's Marymount College. Then, with about half the adult children under 24 still living with their parents, we take an irreverent look at how to raise your adult children with psychotherapist Susan End. That's Thursday on Your Journey Home, the independent alternative all about people, planet, and politics, here on 101.1 FM KSFR, Santa Fe Public Radio. I'm Diego Mulligan. Enjoy the journey.
This is KSFR, White Rock, Santa Fe.